Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric, with me is my co-host Robert.
Hello.
And Ray is here with us as well.
Hello, all.
And it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's when our local area, Arizona, gets to be at center stage as we just hosted, a major tournament in our local backyard, which is always really cool to see. For the 10th year now, Scorched Earth Open was this weekend. Robert and Ray were competing, and we're going to get into their games. But first, we had a little bit of a preview from Games Workshop. We have two codices dropping this week.
More than that.
What we got? What do we have?
Darker.
It's down to shooting edition.
Sorry, it's the biggest gun I have. It's a 103 howitzer made up with confetti, string, and, orc ingenuity.
The most important part.
Very important part. If you believe it, you can achieve it.
And it's also bright gold. Like, come on.
So what are orcs getting? Are they getting some new warp? I was trying to see that. Were they getting some war boss or something like that?
No. So for those of you that caught the jokes, it's orcs and custodians that are going on preview this weekend.
Finally.
But no, the orcs are not getting a new war boss.
They're losing two models.
Well, actually, it's technically not wrong. And I'll get to that in a second. The new model is a new big mech. So he has grown in about 100% of his size and is no longer derpy looking like a old man with back problems.
Okay.
On the Warboss comment, though, in the little preview video that they always do on Sundays, they actually went over Gazgul Thraka's and Trajan Valoris' data sheets.
We're going to go over that.
It's just the natural little preview video that they talk about everything that's going on Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't actually look over Gazgul's at all, but I saw Trajan's.
Gazgul is getting a sweep profile on his claw.
Makes sense.
It is strength 8, AP 2, 2 damage. With like 14 attacks or something. He's also getting the war boss keyword.
Again, makes sense.
And apparently, while he is leading the unit, don't know if this is on his original data sheet or not, but his unit gets minus one to be hit and minus one to be wounded.
Oof.
And if Makari's alive during the WA, you get like a 12-inch bubble of lethal hits and stuff.
Wow. Whoa.
And Gazgul makes his unit trigger criticals on fives.
Oh boy. Okay.
Somebody tells me we'll start seeing a lot of him.
And he's infantry, so he can walk through walls.
That was my next question. I thought it'd be monster. Okay, interesting.
Nope, he is just a big infantry dude.
Okay.
He thinks small, he is small.
Wow. Okay, then. So, hard boys it is.
Yep. And orcs are getting 6 detachments.
Actually, given all the clan stuff, that sounds about right. Okay.
Well, most of them, it's actually more old tropes. Like, there's the Cult of Speed. There's the Dread Mob. There's the Green Tide. Then the current detachment. And then
there's the Hunting Party.
Yeah, the Big Hunt. Which is probably Beast Naga stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's one more that I'm forgetting because the orc reveals were not as important as the saddening news of what they did to my old man.
Yeah, so I guess custodes are being reeled in a bit.
Well, one guy is.
Yes. Yes, listeners. I pour 100 bottles of beer out for this Trajan is losing his fight for Sun Moment Shackles and most of his ignoring modifiers.
Yeah, so now when it comes to enduring modifiers, it is an attack's ballistic skill, weapon skill, characteristics, or all modifiers to the hit roll.
Yep. Yeah. So we can have our damage reduced. We are susceptible to minus one to wound.
Hmm.
We can also lose attacks.
Interesting. Okay, so you're still T7 with a 2 up, 4 up, though, right?
No, Trajan is T6, 2 up, 4 up. Well, 2 up, armor, 4 up, and 1, 5 up, field nothing. Specifically for Trajan.
Okay.
But yes.
And then custodians get a total of 4 detachments.
I would have been happy with 3.
Well, it looks like there's going to be 2 that are basically kind of a both, the Shield Host. At least I think you could argue that it's kind of a, you know, using the actual custodians and the Sisters of Silence. You get the Talents of the Emperor, which is definitely something to do with both of them, because that's the whole point of that. Then there's the Null Maiden Vigil. I'll give you 2 guesses on what that centers around. And then the Auric Champions, which, of course, is going to be the actual custodians themselves.
I'm curious to see how they do all this, because I remember, yeah, they had all the different shield hosts, but it seemed like, at least from the outsider looking in, the same 2 got played over and over and over and over again. So I think people are kind of tuned into this is the only way custodes play. So I'd be curious to see what they do a little bit differently this time around.
Yeah. Another question is, which detachment's really going to be desirable? Because, what is it? As of right now, the one for the custodes is
the Shield Host.
Yeah, the Shield Host. And that's the one that gives them the 4 plus feel no pain on devastating wounds.
And mortal wounds.
Yeah. So the question is, any of the others going to be worth giving that up for?
Maybe, maybe not. We'll have to see. All I know is I'm getting a shiny new book or 2.
Oh, you know you're getting both.
That's why I said or 2, Ray. I may be an orc, but I can at least count to that many.
You made it sound like there was at least a possibility you'd only buy 1. And you and I both know that's not the case.
1. Lots. Many.
I bought 1 book. And I bought 1 book.
Photon.
Yeah, Photon. Oh my god. Yeah, they were a big force this weekend as well. It was pretty interesting watching the standings and the results as they're kind of percolated through in between all my travels today. But yes, Scorched Earth Open. Great to see that it was a fundraiser for a local school. So 50% of all proceeds went to kids who cannot afford lunches. So I was very excited to see that. And tell us a little bit about the venue and the event as a whole.
Well, as I drive by it every day for work, we actually had a parking lot right next to the road that we come in off of to enter the schoolyard. And the gym is right there on the same side.
Yeah, nice up in front. There's a little bit of a gateway you got to get through, but not hard at all. Pretty decent size, too. It was big enough for, oh god, how many tables did they end up setting up? I think they set up enough tables for the actual 80. I think they might have been able to fit a few more people, but they were at least a little bit limited. And of course, there was also the Age of Sigmar tournament that was happening. They opted for the long rows, So if you're at the middle table, it was either take a long walk around or ask your opponent nicely to move the model just the way you want them to.
Yep. I had to do that several times.
Me too. Yeah. But, you know, it's nice that the mats were the right size, so we didn't have to worry about any, like, any adjustments there.
Tape.
Nope, no tape.
That's awesome.
The terrain was well set up. I think there was a little bit of a confusion during the first round. There were some tables that had the wrong, terrain guides for them. They got a little bit mixed up there.
So it wasn't player placed?
No, it was, but it was like, you remember how we have like some of those ones that had like the Chaos Gate looking things?
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, there were, it was like a table like that, but the little terrain guide showed the Necron terrain.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. Little things here and there, it was more like the person who was putting the stuff down wasn't actually paying attention or didn't see the terrain that was going to get put down there.
Got it. Okay.
Nice setup. They managed to have the stream, which was up on the... what would you call it?
On the stage.
The stage, thank you. I could not think of that word.
Yep, it was separated well enough that it looked a lot like you were playing at LVO, like how they have the stream table up on that big auditorium stage.
Okay, that's actually a good comparison.
Yep, and I'm not super familiar with the channel that they brought on for it, but I was kind of hoping that the joke that my buddies were pulling on me that I was going to be throwing on stream round two was right. Because I want people to see my pretty custodes.
Yeah, they did come out great. If you do want to check out this stream, it was Tabletop Live, actually, was the name of the group. And was, like I said, I was able to watch a few of the games, including the final. And they did a very nice job. I was impressed with multiple of angles and occasional commentary here and there. Literally let the players kind of rule the show in terms of hearing the interaction between the players. So that was pretty cool. And like you said, it was kind of off to the side, so there wasn't any background noise or anything like that, so that was kind of nice.
Well, I'm pretty sure there was background noise because it's still the same gymnasium, but not nearly as bad though.
Yeah. All right then, so let's get right into it. Let's start with round one. Who wants to start?
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, this game, oh boy, I lost this game by like 4 points.
Oh.
Yeah, this was a close game into a very local guy here. We are now 1-1. We're gonna have to play each other in another event to break up the tie. But I lost to Dark Angels.
I'm just trying to think about this. Did you guys lose a combine of three models? Because it's like custodies on Dark Angels. Everybody just has high toughness, high armor saves, grim resolve.
So me and Edwin, it was actually a pretty well fought game. My issues were, one, on the objective that I made my initial secure objective, I had left an entire firing lane from his deployment zone to mine for his Lancer to shoot at Trajan, who was way far forward, because I thought that was the right choice. Turned out it wasn't.
Oopsie.
And then also, this is completely on me not having the names right when I look at them. He had one unit of Deathwing Knights that I was stuck in combat with for like two or three turns. And I kept on calling them Terminators. So I kept on thinking they were Terminators and they didn't reduce damage, which Deathwing Knights do. So I was sending spears in there like, oh yeah, no, it's one damage. Dang it.
That's when you win the axes.
But no, it was a very close game with me and Eddie, and it is definitely a lesson in learn how to read instead of lead.
Oh well. Ray, how did your game go?
It was rough. I pretty much got put on tilt from the very beginning because as I was setting up my bets on the terrain, my display board decided it was going to tip over because gravity was just right and a couple of my models broke. Which doesn't sound too bad until you remember I'm playing knights right now. Yeah. I was completely off my game the entire round. Basically because of that, I ended up deploying poorly. And my opponent got the first turn. I lost my Lancer before I was able to even do anything with him. And in the end, I got tabled top of turn three to an Eldar player who had Shadow Spectres?
Yeah, the Forge World Aspect Warriors, yeah.
Yeah, he had 2 units of those, 3 units of Scourges, and two D cannons, I want to say, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a rough list. And the score pretty much reflects it. I lost with 28 points to 88 points on him. So, yeah.
All right. So it's hopefully better news in round two. So, Rob, how about you? What mission did you guys have in round two, and who are you facing?
Well, in round two, of all things to happen, it was the Blood Games, or how I like to say, the janitor competitions, as I ended up playing a custodian mirror.
Oh my, okay.
On priority targets with on mission B of the GW mission. So there was 6 objectives on the board and there was no way both of us were scoring like less than 80 points.
Yeah, this was a very passive game. In my game too, so it was kind of weird.
Yep, so I ended up taking that game 96-83.
No kidding, you're right. Both you guys just scored up points left and right.
Yeah, so I went up against an Astra Militarum player, and he kept a lot of his stuff far back and hiding pretty much the whole game. He had I think they were Manticores. I'm forgetting off the top of my head. And then 2 Rogal Dorns. Everything was poking around terrain to shoot me. So it was kind of a cat and mouse game for the most part. I did lose again. It was 95-90. It all came down to the fact that I couldn't quite get enough secondaries. We both maxed out on primaries. He just managed to eke out 5 more points than I did in the end, though. That being said, it was a very close game, and it ended up coming down to me coming off of one objective. Had I not done that, trying to take out that last Dorn on, I think it was turn 4. Had I not done that, then the score would have been flopped, and I would have had the 95. Hmm. One small mistake there. But it was still a very high points game. I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, my game's full of silly little things that happened that shouldn't happen mathematically. Like Kyra Draxus and her custodians melting a custodian guard squad and getting Trajan down to 3 wounds.
Oh, that's right. You had a mirror match.
Yeah. And then a couple turns later, this same three wound Trajan solos a 5-man warden squad and a captain.
Okay.
He's still alive with three wounds. I no longer have a 5-man warden squad and a captain.
Uh-oh.
It was just like, wow. That was rough.
Yeah.
All right, so we move on to round three, the round final of day one. Robert, who do you have this time? Hopefully something with less than a toughness of 6 this time.
Well, I mean, I wish it was that. But I play against Necrons.
Oh my god.
There was, in fact, a monolith on the table. And 3 Catan. I did not have a good time.
Yeah, not a fun... Was it a Hypercrypt or the...
Yes, it was Hypercrypt.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I spent 2 turns screening out a monolith because I had to go first.
Yeah, sorry about the monolith.
Oh, no, it was hilarious. I was laughing down the entire time because it was... What do I do with this lack of information? You don't have an army. Where is it? So that one, I lost that one 74-80. And that was simply because of the fact that as I was interacting with his army, I was just, my output wasn't matching my saves. Because I took down the Transcendent Catan in like a turn and a half. I took down the Void Dragon in a turn.
Wow. Okay.
It was Trajan. Trajan just went in there while he whomped it. Like, and then the Nightbringer got to live on like 4 wounds. And Trajan eventually killed the monolith.
Okay. That's... Wow.
He had 2 wardens helping for a little bit. And then 1. And then nothing.
Oh, all right then.
It was a fun game, though.
Well, that's good. Good way to end the day, then, at that point. How about you, Ray? What did your last game of day one go?
Well, it's kind of an intense game. I gotta be honest, I don't really remember a whole lot of it other than there were a ton of orcs and a lot of beast snaggas. It was one of those games where it's like, alright, well, he tells me it's a very anti-knight list. Let's see if maybe I can win by a point or two.
Mm-hmm.
The primary was pretty back and forth. Be either, for the most part, it was I got 7, he got 2, he got 7, I got 2, with the exception of the 4th round where I somehow managed to get a hold of 13 points there. So I eked out a victory in primary, and then we actually tied on secondaries at 34. It was kind of one of those things where I didn't know I was going to, I didn't feel like I was going to win until we settled the score and I came out winning.
It's always a nice little surprise there.
Yeah.
I will say this now. I hate Vital Ground. Get rid of that mission. It doesn't need to exist.
So interesting that you bring that up, because we all kind of expected around Christmas time for a new Leviathan deck, or at least a new mission deck, because it seemed like previous editions every 6 months it felt like there was always a new mission pack. But the Leviathan deck is sold out online, so we might be getting a new deck soon.
Hopefully. It would be nice to see some changes, like removing the Servo Skull mission. I would really like that to never exist again.
Yay, soccer.
It's an odd mission. Yeah. So I'd be curious that. And I'm also curious if they change up some of the missions, just the secondaries as well. Which ones are fixed, which ones are tactical only. So I don't know. I'm still, I find them all very, that's the word I'm looking for it. You're not repeating yourself. Each one has its own like strengths and weaknesses, and it's going to be really hard to balance. So
they're very specific.
Yeah, that's the best way. That's a great way to say it. Is the specificity for each mission is just kind of like, okay. It's kind of cool that way that you can't just build for the missions and every mission be awesome at it. But on the other hand, it's almost like, oh, not this one again. So I don't know.
Yeah, and like when I went up against the orcs, I thought to myself, you know, no prisoners would be really nice to get right now, but that's not a fixed one. That's tactical only.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you on that, but I do know day two started earlier this morning. So, Robert, what was game four for you?
Well, this one was probably the roughest game I had all weekend. You better be happy, Eric. I lost to Dark Eldar.
No. How am I supposed to be best in faction if you keep losing to other Dark Eldar players?
It was, in fact, the new detachment. But it wasn't what I expected to normally see. I was expecting to actually see more raiders. And yeah, no, that one, it was a preferred deployment for him. He got to go super wide. And I waffled on the second day, on the primary. I only scored 25 on it. So I ended up losing that game 57-89.
Did you feel he kind of pinned you in or just kind of took you off of objectives? Or,
oh, no. Anything that I touched would explode. But it actually came down to some really important incubi battle shock tests.
Yeah.
Because he charged into my unit of wardens on turn two that made it all the way into his deployment zone off of a long bomb charge to try and pin their raider or ravager, it was a raider back there, and start mopping up everything in that corner. I failed the leadership test, which means I couldn't do -1 damage, I couldn't do extra attacks or whatever.
It's funny because when the whole point of that is more just so you can't interrupt. You know, the idea is that, okay, two of my units are in close combat and you can't use the interrupt stratagem, so I will choose this unit to go first, and then you're stuck. And it's funny to hear that all those other stratagems also come into play as well. So,
yeah, it was still a fun game, though. I learned a lot, and it refreshed my necessity of positioning, because this entire weekend, I think every single mission, I took Storm Hostile objective.
That's a good sign. All right, then. All right, Ray, how was your game four?
Well, it was a rear match. And his list was very different from mine.
It was the Battletech game. Okay.
Yep. So, quick rundown of my list. I had a Lancer, Canis Rex, Crusader, 3 Warglaives, and 1 Helverin. Okay. I'm definitely set up where I should do well against vehicles and a fair amount of, you know, infantry. What I found out was I'm not well suited to play against a knight army that's built to play against other knight armies. So he had a Castellan and an Errant, and then filled the rest in with, I want to say it was 4 Warglaives and 3 Halverns, but it might have been 4 and 4.
No, I'm pretty sure it was 4 and 3.
Okay. he kept his castellan on his home objective and would go back and forth with it between it being just in the ruins and just out so that he could shoot with his anti-Titanic missiles, which did a number on me. And with all those armigers, I did not have the board control I would have liked. So I made the mistake of doing engage on all fronts thinking I could handle it, but I was dead wrong there. So he only had a 10-point advantage on the primary, but because of my poor choice of secondary, one of my secondaries, it ended up being a loss for me, 82-57.
Oof.
Yep. All right, so we shake it off with a little lunch and then roll into game five. Robert, what's going on in game five for you?
Well, I might as well have played Ray, but I played a good buddy of mine who also brought knights to this event. I won that game 82-73. And, yeah, feeding stuff to Canis for him to punch is not exactly fun. I had to hold him in place, dang it.
I still can't get past Canis with this whole nonsense. You kill the knight and the little guy pops out and it still counts. I'm like, what?
No, not only does it count, but Canis Rex does not count as having been destroyed until you kill Sir Hector.
Yeah. I'm like, whatever.
But yes, I took that one pretty well. And it was just a overall very entertaining game for the both of us.
So just had a good time. All right. Ray, what's going on now with, this would be game six, the final one of the weekend.
Oh, did you not want me to talk about
round five? Skip one? Sorry, I skipped one. It's game five. Sorry about that.
It was an nail-biter of a game. Up against World Eaters, that was Angron, a Lord of Skulls, some 8-bound, some Exalted 8-bound, along with a Rhino that had 10-man Berserks and a Master of Execution. He rolled the 3 sixes to bring back Angron 3 times.
3 times?
Now, 2 of those times, Angron was already on the field, so it didn't matter. It was the 3rd time when he made it happen with abilities. That kind of sucks. So I had to kill Angron 2 times. I had to kill the Lord of Skulls as soon as possible. Honestly, it was kind of a bloodbath. And at the end of the game, I had Canis Rex, a Warglaive, 2 Warglaives on the field still. He had a Juggernaut Lord that he had kept hiding in his back corner, holding his objective, and 1 Exalted 8-bound on the field. So just 2 models. That was all that was left on the field at the end of this. The mission was Purge the Foe, which is holding and killing. I had him beat by 4 points on there. The only problem was he maxed out on his secondaries, and the secondaries choices I had became really bad starting round 3. So I only got 15 on secondary, and it ended up being a defeat for me of 94-73.
Oh my, so secondary is not your friend in that particular matchup. Okay.
No, and the worst part is it started off strong. Round 1, I got secure No Man's Land and Area Denial, which is like the perfect 10 points for me. And then I managed to do Cleanse and No Prisoners. That got me 5 more points. But from then on, it was engage on all fronts, behind enemy lines. No luck there. Defend Stronghold, capture enemy outpost, couldn't do that because he managed to get my guys onto my home objective, and I couldn't get them off for a long time. And then the last round, it was attempting target and investigate signal. I could have gotten tempting target, but when I was trying to take out his exalted 8-bound that were on the objective, because they didn't want to face all three in close combat, I overkilled and killed out the unit, so I couldn't charge to get onto the objective.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, Robert, how do we end out the weekend for you?
Well, the universe went, you like playing Knights so much? We're going to do it again. Yep, I ended up getting to listen to a very avid listener by the name of Jacob Healy. And once again, I'm passing the note to you, Eric. Apparently, your mic is too low for his liking.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was the guy I played the fourth round.
Yeah. So yes, just passing on the semi-comical and mostly serious note. But anyway, I won that game pretty handedly. He looked very, very frazzled and very, very tired. So I attribute most of my win to that. But I won 87-40.
Oof.
I think we just lost a listener because of that game. Thanks, Rob.
Hey. He was a sport and he tried. That Castellan took 3 rounds of combat to kill with 4 Terminators, okay?
Okay. If our viewership drops, we're blaming this game.
But because it was on Mission A, which is the most straightforward mission ever.
Yeah.
This one was a prime example of player placed terrain plus player skill plus otherworldly endeavors can easily make a humongous gap in advantage for each person.
This is true.
When I looked at this, I was like, okay, I literally gave him no lines of sight except for some that were maybe like 2 or 3 millimeters big. Now, Trajan never made it into the fight until like turn 4 because he couldn't roll higher than a 1 on his god dang advance roll.
Oh. Are we blaming the dice now?
No. I just laughed because I rolled 3 ones in a row for each advance that he had.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm just like, okay, Trajan didn't get to fight until the errant showed up and stomped into the middle of the table. But again, I do want to thank Jacob for being a good sport about it and playing through the entire game.
Very cool. All right, Ray, how did you round out the tournament?
I got to face another orc player. This was a guy was by the name of Jeff. And yeah, it was kind of a quick lead on my part. But he had so many vehicles in this list. He had 5 characters. And he had so many vehicles. He had like, let me tell you, he had a 6-man unit of Def Coptus. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going assassination and bring it down. Why not? Turn 1, I was able to start off. I was able to finish my turn with getting 4 points in assassination and 4 points in bring it down. Good start for me. He wasn't able to get any secondaries. Went back to my turn, 10 primary, got myself up to. Well, I was up to. What was it? I had like 38 points at the end of my second turn. And he finally got on the board. And I dominated the primary the whole time. I got at least 10 each round. And then one round I got 5. Just shy on maxing out there. And by the third turn I maxed out Bring It Down. Because Def Copta, a unit of 6 Def Coptas fly keyword means Helverins love them. Turn 4 max out assassination. So after that, it was basically, I just basically coasted through the game with a victory of 95 to 37.
I hated Death Copter's last edition. I can't remember what it was. They could go back in reserves, right?
Yes.
Can they still do that?
No.
Thank God. Oh, God, I hated those things. Absolutely hated those things. Just picked up my army left and right. All right. So ended up the tournament rounding out. Robert, I'm going to have the top five for Scorched Earth and however the top players did in addition to you guys.
Sure do. So let me clear the search bar. There we go. All right. So the top five rounded out to be something like this. We have Michael Dale Tor with Tyranids going 5-1. In fourth place is Jacob Wagner with Necrons. In third place is Tarek Hale with Votan.
Votan.
Okay. Okay. It's official, Ray. We have to force Eric to build Votan. No jokes this time.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I was just like, that's got to be the most difficult army for to play, because it's like the how to play Votan is the exact opposite way of how I ever play 40K. So just like,
we'll get him 18 bikes and he'll play Votan just like Drukhari.
There we go.
In second place, we have Donovan Sale with Grey Knights. And in first place is Ben Jurek. Guy from Vegas showed up and decided to take a trophy home with Astra Militarum.
Yeah, he's the first player to win it twice, so which is a pretty big accomplishment. With Astra Militarum, I was actually, I watched that game. Ben was losing every round until the final round. He was down by 8 going into round 5, and he was able to make it work. And this really good target accuracy. If you have a chance to watch the game, it's when those target priority is key, as he's got a purpose with every shot and making sure he's making sure that he's just taking, because the other Eldar player, he was just with his Night Spinners were just taking the you know, forcing him wide basically, because he was taking had a lot of objectives, so he kind of had to spread out to take him out, which unfortunately was, you know, he had several shots that just didn't quite take out the tanks on one turn. So, but over 5 turns, he was able to finally wear him down. And but it was really well played. It was fun to watch. Definitely a nail biter for most of the game. And then Ben was able to pull it out in the last, in the top of this 5. So really cool game to watch. And I'm curious to see if Guard now being the sneaking up, that's another win for Guard. We've seen a lot of success we've talked about here on the show in England. So is Guard the next army to be the boogeyman that needs to get toned down?
I'm going to say no.
Now they seem to be appropriate. I definitely agree. Things to 10 are a little bit, it's not so much that they're overpowered, they're just not fun to play against, especially when there's 3 of them on the table. Just like, okay.
Yep, like our friend Don, poor guy, on the Purge the Foe mission, which I think was turn
4.
Was round, yeah, round 4? Okay. Don got... Okay, it's round 5. Anyway. So, but anyway, Don got paired into that. And couldn't do a goddamn thing about it.
Yeah. It's not so much that they're, you know, I guess where it gets the, for me, because I've run into it now twice in the last 4 weeks. For me, it's not so much, it's not like a true stat check or whatever. It just feels like, okay, armies have what it takes to take the thing out. It's like, oh, okay. How many 4-up saves are you going to make this time around? So you play it like one game and you like wipe out a Satan on first volley. And then there's other games where the Satan lasts for all game long. So it's just like, oh, okay. So I don't know. I can't figure it out. There's got to be a better way to mitigate them a little bit. I don't know.
You could just like not give them damage reduction.
Yeah.
The damage reduction with feel no pain? Yeah, that's a bit much.
Like, keep the feel no pain or the damage reduction. Don't get both.
Yeah. And probably still a point sight, too. Those things tend to do stronger than my knights do half the time.
I mean, I get it. They are shards of a god, but still. So.
But that does, in fact, round out the top five for Scorched Earth of 2024.
So overall, sounds like you guys had a good time. Sorry I couldn't make it this year, but had to take care of some things for the family. And so we're really excited about that. Looks like we have to finalize some last-minute plans. So where my daughter will be going to college in the fall. So that was... took a little bit of a precedent and over the tournament, so very excited about that.
So what you're saying is next year we're just gonna have to kidnap you?
No, next year I'll be down a kid. So we have one kid's gonna be on the opposite side of the world from where we live, so I may actually have more time next season. So she's going to school at the University of Vermont, so I'm very excited. She got into one of her top choices, and nice to see her back on the East Coast again. But wow, that's far, and just hard to imagine. It's a big change here for us here at the family. I mean, it just, you know, she's probably not going to be here for some of the smaller holidays. You know, it's obviously, I told her right off the bat, you will be home for Christmas, but getting back and forth from that college, we're kind of hoping she would get to one of the colleges that was closer to a larger metropolitan area, so we have easier flights, but it's not the case. So we're trying to figure all this and logistics of getting all the stuff out there for the start of the school season. Oh my god, it's a lot. So
yay, congratulations to her.
Thank you. Yeah, she's pretty excited as well.
And also, don't take me out there because I'll probably get lost.
Yeah, no kidding. And not a lot of Warhammer in Vermont. I noticed that. I was kind of like, when was the last time we had a tournament from there? So it's been a while.
It might as well also be just another country at this point.
It is pretty close to Canada. No joke. I was actually kind of like, do I just get my passport?
I can tell you this much. It is north of Georgia.
But that's the farthest reaching country ever.
Oh, my God.
Can't have a good day unless you make fun of yourself, right?
That's right. But yeah, I may visit her for school and then like take my army and my passport and cruise up to Canada because they're only like a half hour away from the Canadian border. I'm like, oh my god.
It probably wouldn't be that far of a drive to get on get a game with Skari, actually.
That's what I'm thinking. So I don't know. We'll have to take a look at that, what the possibilities are of that in the future. So very excited for that. Trying to think what else there was. Just kind of tying in a crazy tangent. 2 weeks ago, we weren't on the air. The Key Bridge fell in Baltimore, and a horrific tragedy. What does this have to do with Wargaming? Well, back in the day, when Games Workshop, before they were in their Memphis location, used to be in the Baltimore area. And actually, they were in a place called Glen Burnie, and it's right at the base of the Key Bridge. And I used to work in that area. So what I would do is on my lunch break, go to the Games Workshop national headquarters and pick up items there. It actually had like a full game hall, which looked like a Bugman's Brewery. It felt like you were in a giant castle. It was really cool. It was kind of neat, too, because them their game boards were like what you saw in White Dwarf Magazine. You're like, oh, I've seen this board before. This is kind of cool. But that bridge would give me nightmares forever. I've only driven across it twice. Once because I was to find out what a nightmare fuel it is. And the second time I was with my boss. And he's like, what's this? Go over the bridge. I'm like, do we have to? So give you an idea how far I would go out of my way. Picture a clock, okay? Because the beltway around Baltimore is a circular highway. And you just take exits off it. Glen Burnie, where Games Workshop used to be, is at the 6 o'clock position. I had to get home back to Philadelphia, so I wanted to get back to the 12 o'clock position. So rather than going straight through the middle of the clock, I would drive all the way around 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, 12, 11, and can finally get up there and then take the route north just to avoid this dumb bridge. So, yeah, when I found out it fell in a collapse in the water, I was just like, damn it. Oh, my God. My nightmare is true.
That it would just collapse eventually?
Yeah, because I literally a week before the thing collapsed, I actually had my reoccurring nightmare of me driving off that bridge into the water. It's just like, it is nightmare. It's just, you know, it's an old bridge. It just, we need room for big ships to fit underneath. We'll just build a bridge that goes, you know, above the Empire State Building. That should fit. And a few wooden guardrails on each side. Go ahead. Who cares about the wind and the, you know, the fact that you're 11 stories above the water?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Problem isn't even being over the water, it's being how high you are over the water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just, oh.
Brutal. So, what you're saying is, Eric, whatever you're scared of, you're a prophet for.
I don't know about that. I'm not going to go far-fetched because my wife was the same way. She's like, this is like the Mothman prophecy all over again. I'm like, she says, no, I have this nightmare at least once a month. So it's just coincidence at this point. But yeah. Oh.
Dang it. We need to make you scared of the lottery so that way we can predict the numbers.
Yeah, that's good. I'm afraid of lotteries. Yes, apparently somebody won yesterday. So.
Ah, poopy.
Yeah, somebody in Oregon. So, congratulations to being a billionaire. So, but anyway, that is our show for this week. We'll get some more updates and back to our regular scheduling programming next week. But congratulations to both you guys. Congratulations to Ben Jurek. Sounds like it was a fantastic event. And with that, we'll have more updates during the week, especially with all the reveals, hopefully from Warhammer community about these two codices. In the meantime, my name's Eric.
I'm Robert.
I'm Raymond.
Thank you for listening to the Exterminatus Podcast.
Hey listeners, this is Raymond with the Exterminatus Podcast here to talk to you about KR cases. If you're like me and you're constantly looking for that better way to store your armies, then look no further than KR cases. That's right, this is the foam company known for their soft blue foam in the cardboard cases. They're great way to mix and match whenever you're heading out for that next tournament. You can just swap out those boxes and no need to worry about switching the foam in and out. They're sturdy. The boxes help protect your models. And when you order, they come fast. The order is right. And for a better price than the other guy. So go to krcases.com. And when you place your order, be sure to mention the Exterminatus Podcast.
So, friends, I have a very, very important question. Is your beer keg boring? Does it not have enough tentacles coming out of it? Does it not taste as funny as you remember because you didn't put a tear in it? Well, the wonderful makers of the Necro Nom 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 to replace your average pizza, decided to come out with another book of the Lovecraft Cock. So, they're from RedDukeGames.com, and it will guide you through 78 different kinds of cocktails to summon a demon, summon a space bug. Who knows? Either way, it's going to be a very, very wonderful time, and we would highly recommend that you try to not ingest too many while at the gaming table, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen when you roll Perils of the Warp or you roll a natural one on your persuasion check if you decide to play in D. So, if you're looking for fanciful drinks, go ahead and grab the Lovecraft Cocktails by the madmen at RedDukeGames.com, the makers of the Necro Nom Nom.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.